Now we're looking back at the best movies of 2017. Whether you're a superhero fan or a documentary geek, there were plenty of options for entertainment this year. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think was the best movie of the year? What was your favorite movie of the year? What should get an Oscar? What do you wish you'd seen, still hope to watch? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Reggie Ponder is Reggie the Real Critic. He appears weekly on Vocalo in Chicago and critiques movies for other media outlets. You can follow him on Twitter at Reggie the Real Critic. That's R-E-E-L. Reggie, welcome back to the show.
Rob, it's always great to be back. How are you this holiday season?
Really good. How are you doing?
Excellent. Just been a great holiday season. Just had a birthday, so I'm not going to talk about age. I know we got to get into these movies, but it's been great. Great holiday season. Thank you.
Well, happy birthday. And before we get into specific movies, big picture, good year for movies?
It was a good year for movies. I think it was a good year as it relates to the good movies. There were some movies, you and I talked about this before. I mean, there's always some of those movies like, really? Did people go see that? But there were some really good movies to see, and obviously we'll talk about it. So I think it was a good year for movies for 2017.
Well, let's talk about a movie plot here. There's an evil empire. Their military is expanding out of control. The good guys face disaster. They can't win. All they can do is escape and keep hope alive. All right, I just described Dunkirk, and I just described Star Wars: The Last Jedi.
That's right.
Does this mean something? This is like people are picking Dunkirk as maybe the best movie of the year, Star Wars on the road to probably being the top grossing movie of the year, and it's all about not winning but surviving. Is there a message here? I don't know.
There's definitely a message as it relates to Dunkirk. This whole thing about survival is you get really caught up in that whole story, and they tell it so well. Nolan does a great job there. And then when you talk about Star Wars, yes, there is that message about survival. How does the resistance survive? It was all about surviving. So I think you're absolutely correct in that regard. And obviously Star Wars is doing blockbusters at the box office. I do want to mention, Rob, that when you look at something like Star Wars, the critics really liked it, but the fans didn't like it as much, even though it's doing really well at the box office.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I want to focus in on Dunkirk, though, and give a little listen to it here, a moment from a very intense movie.
They need to send more ships. Every hour, the enemy pushes closer. They've activated the civilian boats. Civilians? They need destroyers.
From the trailer to Dunkirk there. This is one that I saw. I think we talked about it a little earlier in the year, Reggie. This was powerful. You came out of there feeling pretty, I think, wiped out seeing this movie.
Yeah. I think you absolutely used the right word, Rob. This one was powerful. And I would really say to folks who like movies that are about the war, that this stands the test of time with all of those other films. What I like particularly about it is that there wasn't a lot of dialogue. I mean, this wasn't a dialogue-filled film, but yet you felt the characters, you identified with the characters, and their whole plight of survival, as you just mentioned, was one that just kept you riveted and focused on the screen.
Want to check in on one now. That was Dunkirk, one that I haven't seen, keep meaning to see, got a lot of great reviews. Here's a listen to a moment from the movie Get Out from Jordan Peele.
Do they know I'm black?
Should they?
You might wanna, you know.
Mom and Dad, my black boyfriend will be coming up this weekend. I just don't want you to be shocked that he's a black man.
So Get Out, a lot of great buzz about this, Reggie. Did it deserve it?
Yes, it did. This is probably one of the most provocative films of the year. It really takes a look at racism from a very, very interesting angle, and the film will leave you talking about it long after you leave. And the fact that they encase this film in the horror genre is, I think, genius, because for many African Americans who have to traverse the social landscape, that is a horror tale, and it's really interesting how they did that and juxtapose various characters along the way.
We're looking at the movies of 2017 with Reggie, the real critic. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Phil is with us in Madison. Phil, hi.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good. What's your movie pick, Phil?
Without any question, The Shape of Water.
And tell us, what do you like about that one?
It is so brilliantly creative and yet at the same time nostalgic, romantic, silly. There's all kinds of inside jokes if you're paying attention that he puts in the television programs that people are watching, that sort of thing. So it can appeal to you on a variety of levels. I did love Get Out, and just simply because even with Get Out's brilliant premise, I think Del Toro took us maybe just a notch further as far as presenting us with something we weren't expecting.
Phil, thanks a lot for that call. Guillermo del Toro, the director there of The Shape of Water. This is, I understand, I haven't seen this, Reggie, about a cleaning lady who forms a relationship with a sea creature of some sort.
Yes, absolutely. And I think I'm out of a job because he just did a fantastic job talking about that movie. This film looks fantastic. The first thing is just looks fantastic on the big screen. The second thing, as you look at the characters and how sneaky it sneaks up on you. This is one of those films that sneaks up on you where you're like, did that just happen? Really? Oh, how did they weave that story? So it's very, very interesting how a relationship develops between this cleaning lady and this sea creature and what actually happens along the way. So I think he described this beautifully, actually. And beautiful is a great word to describe the film, in fact.
Phil, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go next to Christopher with us in Rhinelander. Christopher, hi.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What's your movie pick, Christopher?
I saw the movie with my family, Wonder, a few weeks ago, and I really loved it, and I highly recommend it to everyone to go see it.
The movie Wonder. Reggie, I'm not familiar with that one.
So this is a movie where Julia Roberts is in the movie, and this is a movie where a young kid is deformed, and he has to go through a whole lot of things to kind of survive his environment, if you will, because kids talk about how he looks, a parent, you know, the stares and all of that. And interestingly, of all the movies this year, I have not seen Wonder, and it is on my list to see before the end of the year, in fact. So I haven't seen it, but the word of mouth on this one is phenomenal. And when you look at it from a box office perspective, it did really well at the box office and surprised a lot of people at the box office.
Well, Christopher, thank you so much. Christopher gives it his recommendation. I do remember seeing a trailer for that now that you've described it, Reggie. Christopher, thanks for that call. Well, from Wonder, I want to go to the superhero genre and Wonder Woman, a superhero movie that I'm seeing critics put in some of their top 10 lists, Reggie.
Yes. So it's really interesting. I loved Wonder Woman, and I loved it for a couple of reasons. The first reason is that if you're going to do a superhero film, obviously the action has to stand up, and it does in this movie, bar none. The other thing is that the story works, and I love the thing I love is that the director, Patty Jenkins, was able to direct a film that was over $100 million. This was almost $150 million. We talk about diversity in Hollywood, and obviously it's really been a front and center given the things that's been happening there as it relates to women and sexual abuse. It's really great to see when women are provided the same types of opportunities to direct and have the type of money, the budget that they had for this film. A really good film, did really well this year.
And I want to look at some of the other superhero movies. I saw a couple of the Marvel ones this year, Thor, Ragnarok, and Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And you know, we had, I think for a long time, Reggie, the sort of the gritty, dark superhero movies. These two, Guardians of the Galaxy sequel and Thor, the latest incarnation there, they were a blast. They were funny.
They absolutely were. So I want to mention a couple of things about the superhero movies. The first thing is that 6 of the top 11 films were superhero movies. So you had, and you mentioned them, but you had Logan, Justice League, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man, Thor, and Guardians of the Galaxy. Then when you look at about three or four of them were considered almost like comedies. And people say, why? Well, there are really two reasons for that. The first is that you can only go so far and blow them up, bang them up. You can only go so far. And so after a while, everybody's just trying to one-up each other. And you get kind of tired of that. The second thing is that to expand your audience is that when you start to have some humor and some character development, you actually expand your audience and actually invite some of the women into those franchises. So they did a good job with that. My favorite was Guardians of the Galaxy, and I want to say that I did not love Thor. And the reason I didn't is because I felt they tried to be Guardians of the Galaxy.
I could see that.
You know, so that was it for me.
And two big Jeffs in these movies, Jeff Goldblum in Thor, and it was Jeff Bridges, right, in Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's right.
In both in interesting
very
roles.
Very good, Rob. Very good.
I spot these themes, man.
That was good. That's good. I didn't even think of that one. Man, I'm not going to come back on ever again. You guys are killing me.
We'll have you back. We're talking about the best movies of 2017 right now with Reggie Ponder, a.k.a. Reggie the Real Critic. He stays with us, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What was your favorite movie in 2017? What was the best movie, if that's a different thing in your mind for 2017? What is still on your list, or do you need a recommendation from Reggie? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation, get to more of your calls coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the best movies of the year with Reggie Ponder, also known as Reggie the Real Critic. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What was your favorite movie of the year? What maybe let you down when you were looking forward to? What should we be talking about for Oscar and other award considerations? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Here's one I saw kind of accidentally, Reggie. Here's a listen to a bit of Lady Bird.
I hate California. I want to go to the East Coast.
I want to go where culture is, like
how
New
in the
York,
world did I raise such
or at least
snob.
Connecticut or New Hampshire, really? Where writers live in the
get
woods.
Get into those schools anyway.
Mom,
you should just go to City College.
So Lady Bird, Reggie, I'd overheard somebody saying something good about it. I had time to see a movie. I didn't know anything about it, didn't know what it was about. Saw it. I liked it. What did you think?
So when you say you liked it, why did you like this one, Rob?
I had no expectations. I knew the name and somebody had said something good about it, and I didn't know what to expect. And it was just there have been a lot of coming-of-age stories out there. I thought this is a pretty good one. I thought this is something that, this might be a teenager's life. I didn't think it was super contrived or overly dramatic or, I don't know, it felt sincere, I guess.
I think they did a couple of things really well with this film, is that they didn't get overly dramatic in it, but they had some dramatic moments in it where there's this one scene where she's talking about the house that she loves, and I don't want to give it away, but she says she lives in this house, but she really doesn't live in this
right.
house. And it, to me, that is a great example of how teenagers dream and hope, and she really wanted to get out of that community. And I think they captured it phenomenally. And the tension between her and her mother, but the love between her and her father, it really was a very good film. Not my favorite, but it was a very good film.
And by the way, we got a caller who corrected me, not Jeff Bridges. It was Kurt Russell in Guardians of the Galaxy.
You can take my
movie critic credentials right back now, Reggie.
Yeah, that's
sorry.
Right. Kurt,
and my
Kurt
Jeff
Russell,
theory is
right.
shot to heck.
We can always use some help every once in a while. See, that's great. The people are listening, so that's excellent.
That's true. We'll go back to our callers now. Randy is with us in Madison. Randy, hi.
Good day. Good evening. I just wanted to be a little grinchy here. Last year had a really disturbing statistic, which is that of the top 10 grossing movies, not a one was set in the real world. They were either superhero, cartoons, or the Star Wars thing. And I'm wondering, and I just find that, like I said, pretty disturbing. I'm wondering if that's going to be the case this year, too. Is there any real world movie that is going to make the top 10, or are they going to be the cartoons and the Star Wars?
Randy, interesting. I know a Beauty and the Beast is about to get knocked off probably by Star Wars. There's superhero ones. Are there any? I don't think Dunkirk was a top grossing movie, Reggie.
No.
Does anything meet Randy's criteria there?
No, none of them do. Because when you look at the top 10, you have things like Fate of the Furious, Logan, Despicable Me, Thor, It, Spider-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Star Wars, Wonder Woman, and Beauty and the Beast. And,
hold on. You're telling me Fast and Furious isn't in the real world?
No, it's not in the real world. What they've done with that franchise, it definitely is not in the real world. They've moved that movie from real world stuff to now they're almost superhero, at least superhuman, in some of the things that they do. What I'll say about Randy's comment is that many people go to the movies to escape. So you're very rarely are you going to see that real world movie be the top grossing, because people are going to escape. You've had a hard week, and you say, hey, I just want to go have some fun and let it loose.
Thanks a lot for the call, Randy, at 800-642-1234. I want to take a moment to look at a documentary. I think this is one you had liked earlier in the year. I listened to a trailer from the documentary Step.
We're in Baltimore City. They come home to no lights, not having food in the refrigerator, not having a refrigerator at all. But when they come to step practice, all of those things are erased out of their mind, so they can make it through life.
So tell us about Step, Reggie.
So this is about some young girls in a high school in Baltimore, and they're in a step team. And if you don't know step, let's just say it's a dance team. So they're in a dance team, and they're just trying to make it through life. I mean, they're in an impoverished community, and their teachers and administrators really, really care about them. And we get to follow these young girls as they're on the step team, kicked off the step team because they're not doing their academics at the level that they need to be, how they get back on the step team, how they form a family, and how they succeed, and the ones that succeed and some that don't. And so it's a heart-wrenching story, but you are absolutely invested when you watch this. I totally recommend this for people to check it out if you haven't, to check this one out.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Lincoln is with us in Two Rivers. Lincoln, hi.
Hello.
What'd you want to bring up, Lincoln?
I just wanted to bring up what my favorite movie of 2017 was.
And it was?
It was actually kind of two movies. It was both Star Wars The Last Jedi and Dunkirk, because you said previously that the whole theme of survival, it's kind of relevant in this modern age, because it's kind of a very primitive, in my mind, it's very primitive that it's the hunt. I'm going nowhere with this. But what I'm trying to say here is that survival is pretty much the human instinct.
Oh, I got you, Lincoln. Thanks. So kind of, I think he's going for kind of a primal link to this idea
right.
of survival in this flashy movie and in this very gritty, dark movie, Dunkirk. What do you think, Reggie?
Yeah, you and I talked about that a little earlier, and I don't think you can go wrong with either of those movies. I do really quickly want to mention, because I know we're coming up on time, but I do want to mention a couple of movies, and particularly my favorite movie of my second favorite movie of the year, which is Three Billboards. Have you seen that one, Rob?
I haven't. I've seen the trailers. It's Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, right, with Frances McDormand, who's awesome.
Awesome, and should absolutely get every award that comes her way. This is a fantastic film. It's about a mother who wants to have justice for her daughter who was murdered and raped, but she doesn't feel like she's getting that justice. So she takes out these three billboards, which challenges the police department and particularly the police chief, who is played by Woody Harrelson, to do something. And it causes such an uproar in that community. And people are mad at her for doing it, and it makes problems for her children and all the family around her. The way they tell this story, the characters are quirky. There's some interesting things that happen. But Woody Harrelson's character brings it all together where he actually helps these people realize their potential or find their direction and where they want to go. This is a must-see. a must-see. You should check that one out.
And you said that was your second favorite. Which one was your first? Was it one
so
of your
Get Out? Get Out is my Get favorite, okay. And it's by a hair. I mean, and when I say by a hair, if Three Billboards gets all the awards, I would not be upset because it is very well done, and it's told in such a different way. It will surprise you. Some people call it a comedy because there are some comical things that happen here, but it is a dramedy, if you will, and I really like that. So those are my favorite two for the year.
Okay, and in just our last few seconds, what's one you're looking forward to in 2018, Reggie?
Wow, what am I looking forward to? I haven't even thought about looking forward to 2018 yet because, I honestly, Rob, you know, voting season is coming up, so I still have a few movies that I have to catch up on. I haven't seen Coco, which I need to see when we talk about animated films, so I absolutely need to see that in order to have a real opinion about what happens for the animated films this year. I have not seen Wonder, which we just talked about. And then there's a couple of films from a documentary perspective that I want to see as well. So I'm actually trying to do some catch-up, so I can't tell you what I really want to see for 2018. If I can, really quickly, I do want to say that the breakout role for me, there were two breakout roles for me this year,
quick.
And one of them is in Baby Driver. Mm-hmm. I think that his role in Baby Driver was absolutely...
Reggie, we got to get out of here, but we'll check in with you on that again. That's Reggie, the Real Critic, looking at the best movies of 2017.